We're continuing in the Shabbos Malkasa on page Kuf Beis. We're continuing with the explanation of the Mincha prayer of Shabbos. Now we're up to the words, on, as it says in Osei, Avraham Yogel Yitzchak Yiranein Yaakov Uvanov Yanuchuvo. That Avraham rejoices, Yitzchak sings, and Yaakov and his children rest in it. Those are the three avos that are mentioned, and their joyous feelings and their sense of rest that they have on the Shabbos. So he explains all three of them now. He says, Yadua, it is well known, Shemidas Avraham hi chesed. The attribute of Avraham is the attribute of kindness. Ukirichsiv, as it says, chesed l'Avram, kindness to Avram. V'amuvar ha-poshet, and the simple understanding of this concept is, Shekol chaye Avraham hoyu malei hislavus. Avraham's life was filled with enthusiasm. Echa olam kula malei chesed Hashem ba'ofan muflok v'ein sofi. How we find that the entire world is completely filled with Hashem's kindness in a wondrous way without any limit. V'ikar avodos ha'b'chaim ha'isa, and the main service of Avraham in his life was l'hidamas elav yisbarach, to become similar to Hashem. B'zeh, in this way, lasos chesed ba'ofan rochav k'chol ha'efsher, to do kindness in a very as broad a way as possible. V'zeh ha'inyan, and this is the concept shehichnis orchim, that he invited guests. U'be'ikrim, primarily mashehichnis anoshim tachas kanfei hashchina, to how he brought people under the wings of the Holy Shekhinah. Because that is the greatest kindness anyone could ever do to another person, is bring them close to Hashem. Right? So that was Avram's calling in life. He was so amazed at he was able to look at the world and see God's unbelievable kindness, and he figured the only way that he could be just like God would be to do like God, to have unlimited kindness to others, and the greatest kindness he could do would be to bring people under the sheltering wings of the divine Shekhinah. Valkein, therefore, Kishabo Shabbos Kodesh, when the Holy Shabbos comes, Shaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korov Yeser Li'Olamo, where then Hashem is closest to his world, Umashpia Tosefas Chesed V'Chol Tov, and he brings down energies of increased kindness and goodness. V'Chol Sheshes Yimei Ma'aseh Mizborchim Mikoach HaShabbos, and the 6 days of creation are blessed through the power of the Shabbos. Nimtzer She'ikar Hashba'as HaChesed Bo'am Me'HaShabbos. It comes out that the greatest flow of kindness comes due to the Shabbos. Because we know that everything that comes in the 6 days of the week comes out as a result of the Shabbos. So if the 6 days of the week are filled with kindness, then Shabbos has to be the source of kindness. Ulechein Avram, therefore Avram, Haroa Eshefa HaChesed, he's the one who sees this flow of kindness on Shabbos more than any time. Sameach Simcha Gedola L'Chasodim HaMiyuchadim HaBoim Mikoach Shabbos Kodesh. So Avram has an extra great rejoicing over the unique kindnesses that come through the power of the Holy Shabbos. V'zeh Avraham Yagel. And this is a concept that Avram is rejoicing. Good. So that's you. So you can sense unbelievable kindness that comes out of Shabbos. Amnam Yitzchak Avinu, on the other hand, Yitzchak, Ikar Mabato Ala Oilam Hoyashara Esa Shlita Hamuchleta Shalakodesh Baruch Hu Boilamo. His primary focus in the world was that he was able to see God's clearly defined dominance over the world. Ve'ech shekol chukei ha-teva, and how all the laws of nature, shebekoach kulam nivna olam u'maloa, and through them, and the entire world is built, and their omdim al hayesod shel yiras shemayim, they all stand on the foundation of fear of God. How do we see this? Kumo she'omer Chazal, as our rabbis tell us, she'amudei shemayim ha'yerofafim, that the pillars of the heavens were shaking, at shegar b'makadosh baruch hu, until Hashem so to speak, screamed at them. In other words, he forced them to stay put. Meaning to say that the laws of nature, the fundamental laws of nature that appear to us to be so strong and so set without any ability to ever change, the truth of the matter is, it's because they stand that way because of the fear of God that they have. In other words, what keeps the world from running amok into chaos is that there's an understanding that this world knows it has to listen to God. Every minute of the day, the world stands in awe of God and obeys obediently to what God wants the world to do. That's the way Yitzchak looked at the world. They're both right. Avram sees abundant kindness, God bringing energies of existence into this world. On the other hand, Yitzchak says, but I see the world always listens to Hashem. So it has a tremendous awareness of God in this world. Okay, so that's the way Yitzchak looked at the world. Okay, now I'll take a little tangent until he brings us back here. V'nei Beis HaMikdash, we look at the Holy Temple. Shedarko ba shefa hachayim v'abrach li'olam. That in its path comes an abundant flow of life and blessing into the world. If we look at the Beis HaMikdash, ha'avoda bo ha'isa v'shtei b'chinas. The service in the Beis HaMikdash took on two forms. Avoides ha'kohanim v'avoides ha'levim. There was the service of the Kohanim and the service of the Levim. In other words, each one had a special job. V'heim keneged shnei yisaitis olam. And they are juxtaposed to these two fundamental basics of the world. Chesed u'gvura, kindness and control. Hakohanim heimidas ha-chesed. Kohanim, priests, they are the attribute of kindness. U'kidichsiv, as it says in the Torah, the blessings too that Moshe gave to Levi. Tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. The Urim v'tumim. That the letters on the breastplate, they go to a man of kindness. So that's a reference to the Kohanim being kind people. Valavim heimidas ha-gvura. And the Levites, they represent the attribute of gvura, of control. As we see, that's what Levi did a lot. Levi, when Moshe needed people to help him kill the people who sinned with the golden calf, who came forth? It was the Levites. That's control. So the Kohanim are chesed, and the Levim are gvura. V'hamuvan, and was understood, kol shefa hayotze me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra chesed. Every flow that comes from Hashem is called kindness. Every amount of energy that makes this world exist, that's pure kindness. V'amnam, klal gadol hu b'liyotze min haklal. There's a general rule, a big rule, without exception. Very interesting idea he's going to say now. Whatever comes from Hashem, it has to come back. It's a rule of nature. For every energy that comes out, that energy's got to come back to God. Because if something comes out from God, it's left God, so to speak, and it remains distant from God, there's no greater destruction than that. That the distancing is the fundamental idea of all evil of this world. As King David says the opposite. For me, being close to Hashem, that is good. Everything's got to come back to Hashem. Everything that Hashem produces in this world that seems to come forth from Hashem has to be returned to Hashem. V'zu nikras midas ha-gvura. Now we have a new insight into the attribute of gvura. Sheshum dover eina misnat seik mishli toso yisbarach. There is nothing in this world that's severed and separated from the dominion of Hashem. Everything has to go back to Hashem. Chazara zohi bekama ofanim. This returning comes in many ways. Avol ba'ikara hi achas mishnayim. But primarily, it's one of two ways in which this returning to Hashem is evidenced. O al yidei hoda, either it comes through thanks and acknowledgement, o al yidei yisurim chas v'shalom, or God forbid, through suffering. It's going to explain. Al yidei hoda, when we're talking about giving thanks, hainakum okol pikaron v'alma, just like any pikaron, something we give someone to watch. Mi shemoida al chafetz achefes pikaron shu shachaveiro. Anyone who gives thanks to or confesses to an object that belongs to his friend, it remains in the ownership of the friend. Okay? And in other words, you give thanks to somebody, he gives you something. Somebody, I give you something, so what do you got to do in return? It's got to come back. How does it come back? I thank you for it. I acknowledge that you gave it to me. All right, somebody gives you something, you have to give it back. I'm supposed to keep it. Okay, so thank me for it. If that thanks is your way of returning, hakaras hatov, having gratitude, that's what you have to send back to the person who gives you. Right? V'ad in klapei malo, this is the same thing regarding Hashem. Adei shiros v'sishpachos hakadosh baruch hu, through the songs and praises to Hashem. Lahodo shakol men yisbarach, to confess that everything comes from Hashem. Havizu chazor elav yisbarach, that's returning it to Hashem. Right? U'meila gam kishadavar munach rishusenu, and even though the object may be in our possession, still, hu berishus shal kadosh baruch hu adei hodah, it goes back to Hashem's domain through our thanksgiving to Hashem. Beautiful idea here. And that's the attribute of Gvura. Gvura, control, part of that, and that is underneath. If you look at the spheros, where you've got Chesed on the right and Gvura on the left, and then Tiferes. So you go to the next round. It's Netzach and Hod. Netzach is eternity, and Hod is humility, which is humility goes under Gvura. Right, and humility. This whole idea of being able to give thanks, right? That idea of Gvura is able to come out of that. So that's a tremendous tremendous thing, right? V'im chas v'shalom lo modim lo yisparach al kach. And if God forbid you don't give thanks to Hashem for this, tzarach shamatana atzmo tachzer elav. The gift has to go back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the concept of suffering in the world. You could go on parnasa or brius, like for making a living or health. If you don't return back the gifts that God gives you through songs of praise, God gives you a good job, you should thank Hashem for that good job. Hashem gives you good health, you should thank Him for that health. To the extent that you thank Him for that, that's showing control, that Hashem is in control. Choseres haparnasu baniya. So the parnas is going to leave if you don't thank him for it, and you're going to become poor. Choseres habrius. The health goes back to Hashem. Uba misurim chas v'shalom, and sickness and suffering comes. God forbid. So that is a great concept over here. The concept of gvura, which shows God's control, means that everything. Every aspect of chesed that flows out from Hashem, which seems to have it get away from Hashem, right? It's going somewhere else. Look at this person. This person has money. It's not Hashem's money anymore. So that was the chesed. But on the other side, there's gevura. It's got to come back to him. It's got to show that it's still under God's domain. There's nothing that isn't under God's domain. And that's gevura. That's control. So how do we see that God controls that very gift that he gave you in one of two ways? Either going to thank him for it, which says it's not me, but it's Hashem. Or what's going to happen is you're going to lose it. And it goes back to Hashem. Hashem takes it right back. Right? Ulazet, now to this point, Beveis HaMikdash, we look at the Beveis HaMikdash. This is going to be the Tisha B'Av drush right here. That's it. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, It was the greatest source of the flow of all blessing in this world came from the Beis HaMikdash. We therefore needed to have two types of service, that of the Kohanim and the Levim, working simultaneously. One representing the Chesed, one bringing that through them the flow comes to us, and the other one bringing back the gift to Hashem. HaKohanim himshichu es haChesed milamala de karbonos. The Kohanim would be the people who through their service, and specifically through the karbonos and the other avodah they did, that would help bring forth the kindness upon the Jewish people. The birchas Kohanim, that would flow through their blessing. That would be all the blessings of kindness that would come into the world. So through the service that the Kohanim did, the bracha came into the world. And the Levites would return this flow of blessing back to God's domain through the songs of praise to Hashem. And through their songs, the bracha can stay with the Jewish people. Wow. Isn't that beautiful, beautiful insight into the Avodah Space HaMikdash? That's what we don't have. That's what we don't have nowadays. Right? You know, in other words, everyone can do this avoda. This avoda happens all the time. You know, through the mitzvahs we do and through these things, the bracha comes into our world. And then do we acknowledge the brachas that Hashem gives us? Do we give it back to Hashem? So, you know, as long as the Jewish people did, the Beis HaMikdash stayed. And when we stopped, that's the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is a reflection that we don't have, you know, there's something wrong on both ends, and specifically in the second end. Okay, so now that we see that, ulechein, therefore, Yitzchak, shemidasa haisa habchonas kfuraso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehakol tachas shlitas Yerushalayim. The attribute of Yitzchak is what? This idea that everything is under the dominion of Hashem, and everything operates through this awareness and this awe of Hashem. So Yitzchak Yiranein, he's the one who what? He sings. The Hainu Shira, that song. Midaso Shel Yitzchak, that's the attribute of Yitzchak. Lahodos Ulahalel, to sing and to praise, to thank and to sing. Lahavir, to clarify. Eich Shakol Shaykh Laborei Olam, how everything is owned by the Almighty. That was Yitzchak's avoda. Kishaba Shabbos Ushlita Shekadosh Baruch Hu. When the Shabbos comes and God's dominion becomes clear, Mizbaheres Ba'olam B'Yeser Seis, it becomes clarified in a stronger way in this world. Sharei Miskales Soda Yichud Sheinod Milvado, becomes revealed the mystery of the uniqueness of Hashem, how there is nothing else besides Him. And if that's the case, so just as much as there's abundant kindness coming from Hashem, and it's all coming from Hashem, umemela, therefore, she'ev shel nasek shum davar mimeni yisparach, nothing can be disconnected from Hashem. She'bil odav yisparach ein shum mitzias, because without Hashem there is no reality. So Mosiv Yitzchak Tosef es Rino, so Yitzchak adds an increase of song, mikoach Yerushalayim shemizgala, through the fear of Hashem that is revealed. Vigilu shlitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olam miyuchal Shabbos Kodesh, and the revelation of Hashem's dominion in this world, which is unique to the Shabbos Kodesh. See, now you understand the whole idea of Zmiros on Shabbos. The idea of Zmiros on Shabbos is to sing, they're usually songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is giving it back to Hashem and not keeping it for yourself. Right? On Shabbos we become so uniquely aware of all the gifts that come from Hashem. That's what makes Avram so happy, to realize that all the gifts are coming down. We're being showered with those gifts on Shabbos. Shabbos, when that Shefa comes, that flow comes to give blessing to the entire week. At the same time, you've got to recognize and give back to Hashem on Shabbos. And how do you do that? Through songs and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through your avodas Hashem, the whole day of Shabbos, you give it back to Hashem. So it's going to be very important. You know, that's why people can ask, so much shefa comes out on Shabbos, how come there's no bracha the rest of the week? The answer is because we're not doing the second part. We're not thanking Hashem for what we're supposed to be getting. There's an imbalance. And then you lose it. The blessings go back. Okay, so that's Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov uvanov yanuchuvo. Yaakov and his sons take menucha, rest, in it, in the Shabbos. So how does he explain this? Midas ha-menucha atzma miyuchedes liYaakov. The concept of menucha, of rest, is unique to Yaakov. Because we know, v'nei, the first three words of the Shmon Esrei, hakel ha-gadol ha-gibor v'ha-neira, great, mighty, and awesome. Hem keneged Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. They juxtapose Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Yaakov he meets Noira. So Yaakov is attribute of Noira, of awe, of fear. Right? It's beyond. Chayev shel Yaakov haya meruchazim b'havona v'hislavus eich shakadosh baruch hu Noira mala mikol tefisas olam. Yaakov's service was focused on understanding and with an excitement of how awesome HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond any grasp that we could understand. It's beyond kindness. It's beyond control that we can perceive in this world. And therefore, Yaakov's service was beyond. It's beyond what would be normally understood to be this worldly. As our rabbis tell us, for example, it talks about when by Yaakov, by Beis Kel. Get that small corner's chair. We find when Yaakov returns back to Beis Kel. Just give me a second to find it. This is when he goes back. I know, it's not in here. That's why it's not. It should be Lamed Hay, I think. Let's go back to Lamed. That's the wrong place. It's Perek Lamed Hay. It's a typo. Perek Lamed, you should fix it up. Perek Lamed Hay, Pasuk Zayin. So after all the events that happened in Shechem, Hashem says, go back and fulfill your promise and go back to Beis Kel. That's where I appeared to you the first time. When you're going down to Eretz Yisrael, I appeared to you in Beis Kel. Go back and fulfill your vow to build a Mizbeach here. So it says, Vayivin Shem Mizbeach, he built a Mizbeach. Vayikra Lamakom Kel Beis Kel. He called the place, that's Kel Beis Kel. One second. There's a whole bunch of these. It might not be Lamed Hey, I'm sorry. One second. Maybe it was Lamed Hey. This is for Yishlach. Yishlach. One second. I thought I had it. Kale base kale. That's not the one I want. It says Vayikrilo Kale Okesrol. Okay. It's another place. I can't find it right now. One second. Is it over here? Okay. It's still in Lamed Hey, but a little further. Lamed Hey Tesvav. It's the second part. After he builds the Mizbeach, right? And after he calls it, it's interesting. He tells him to go. Let's go to Beis Kel. And they gave him everything. Okay. So in the beginning of the parak, it's interesting. In the beginning of the parak, it says Yaakov comes to Luz, which is Beis Kel. He builds there an altar. And he calls the place Kel Beis Kel. He calls the place Kel Beis Kel. Then later on, Hashem appears to him in a vision. And he blesses him and says, your name is no longer Yaakov. It's going to be Yisrael. and he gives him all kinds of blessing. And Yaakov now sets up the matseva, the monument. Right? Vayikra Yaakov Hashem Hakom Asher Dibur Etzer Hashem Elokim Beis Kael, and he calls the place Beis Kael, but he calls it Elof. He calls it Shem Elokim Beis Kael. He calls it, and there's another one too, Kael Elokei Yisrael. There's another one. It's not even in this one. It's just so many times this place is named. That's why it becomes confusing over here. Okay, but he called it Kael Beis Kael. I still can't find the one I'm looking for. But, okay, anyway, we'll have to look more for it later. Okay, back. So it is in Lamed Gimel. There's three places here. So I'm sorry. So it's Lamed Gimel, the last pasuk, Chaf. Even though when he comes, Kael Elokei Yisrael, Kael Elokei Yisrael. It's when he's in Shechem. I'm sorry. Vayeser Shem Mizbech. He builds a Mizbech in Shechem. Vayikra Lo, and he calls Lo, we have to what that word means, Kael Elokei Yisrael. Kael Elokei Yisrael. So I'm sorry, it's the end of Perek Lamed Gimel. The last pasuk in Lamed Gimel, he builds a Mizbech, Yaakov builds a Mizbech, he calls to it Kael Elokei Yisrael. So now what is he calling it? So Rashi tells that's not the name of the Mizbech. So there's a whole discussion, who's calling what? So that's what he's going to explain now. So Amar Rabbi, back inside, Amar Rabbi Yach, Amar Rabbi Lozer, Minayin Shekara Kodesh, Baruch Hu LeYaakov Kael. How do we know that Hashem called Yaakov Kael, godly? Shenemar Vayikra Lo, Kael Elokei Yisrael. He called him. Who called who? Well, we'll see. If you think Yaakov is the one who called the named the Mizbeach Kael Beis Kael, if you think that Korale Yaakov Kael, then it should have said Vayikra Lo Yaakov Miboile. It should have said Yaakov called it. It should have said Vayikra Yaakov Lo Kael Beis Kael. And that's not what it says. Ela Vayikra Lo Le Yaakov Kael, but rather Hashem called him Kael. That's what it says. Vayikra Lo, Umi Karo Kael, who called him God? Elokei Yisrael, God of Israel did. So the way they learned the pasuk, Vayikra Lo Kael, it's not so simple. It's not the simple reading of the text. But the Medrash says, and he called him Kael. Who called him Kael? Elokei Yisrael. So what's the proof? So that shows you that if Hashem calls him Kael, that shows you that the service of Yaakov was awesomeness, was godly-like. That his service was godly-like, meaning to say Kael, like beyond. Yaakov's service was the service beyond normal human service was Yaakov. Let's turn to Kuf Dalet. That's who Yaakov is. Dugma L'davar, I'll give you an example of this. We know that Avram never even looked at his wife Sarah. He never looked at her. And it would appear that Yitzchak also never looked at his wife. Because from the time of the Akedah, when he saw the Shekhinah, and the Medrash says, V'dimos ha-malachim naflu tochenov, and the tears of the malachim fell in his eyes. Right? Ha'isa kol riyaso riyash shel kedusha belvad. Every vision he had was only that of holiness. And he proves it, because it says, when Rivka came to him, it says, Vayisa Einav, he lifted up his eyes, and Rivka's on the camels, right? What does it say? Vayar Vinei Gamalim Boim, and he sees camels coming. What do you mean camels? There's Rivka on the camel. Shatora Me'ida Shara Rak Esagmalim. The Torah testifies that he only saw the camels for Lois Rivka, but didn't see Rivka. This is because of the great holiness and the great prisha, the separateness, that the constraint that the patriarchs had. They were able to do prishas. Control. They didn't even look at their wives. That's how controlled they were. But what do you know about Yaakov and his wife? It says, "Vayikasher ro Yaakov is Rachel." It says, "When Yaakov saw Rachel," it says he saw her, not the camels, not the flocks. It says he saw Rachel. If I'm moving and understanding is, so the understanding is for him there is no such thing as precious. Why? He has so much godly kedusha, he didn't have to worry about it. What's he saying? And this explains the kiss and everything else. Right, of course, the big question is, how could Yaakov kiss Rachel? It's not snias. You have to have precious. I mean, there's an idea of precious in Avodas HaKodesh. When you serve Hashem, the aspect of precious. Precious means to abstain, to stay away. You just... Even though you're blessed with everything, you don't have to have everything. Don't indulge. Don't overindulge. Abstain. It's there, but stay away from it. So holy people stay away from it. Holier people don't have to even stay away from it because nothing can bring them to sin. In other words, you know, what's essentially wrong with people kissing other people? You know what's wrong with it? Because it doesn't stop with a kiss. And there's much more to the kiss. That happens, right? No such thing as a kiss is just a kiss, right? And therefore, you have a whole avodas Hashem is to stay away from certain things because we know it's going to bring you into worse areas. Right? Say precious. Don't indulge at all. Better stay away. Don't whet the appetites of the Yetzer. That's all that's going to happen. Even if what you're doing in and of itself seems to be a harmless act, you know, it's one step closer to this, to being is submerged in the physical world. The physical world will drown you, so stay away. So Avram and Yitzhak, they wouldn't even look at their wives. That's how holy they were. Right? To stay away from any confrontation with the Yetzer Hara. But a holier person, as we see by Yaakov throughout his life, could tangle with the Yetzer Hara and not worry to ever lose. That's the whole thing. He dreams, he has the fight with the angel, and he doesn't lose. That the angel wanted to throw every Yetzer Hara in the book at him, and still Yaakov did not flinch. He wasn't lowered in holiness because of his conflict with the Yetzer Hara, right? And that Yaakov was always thrown into the worst scenarios and walked out clean. So Yaakov could look at a woman, and he mamish was beyond. His service was beyond. He could see Rachel. And all he saw was what Adam saw in Chava before they sinned. He only saw one thing. This is the matriarch of Klal Yisrael. He only saw the spiritual root. He could look at her and see right through her. See right through her and just see the Kedusha and not even see, even the Torah testifies, she was a beautiful woman. He sees right through the beautiful veneer and sees a more beautiful neshama. And that's what he kissed. That beautiful neshama. Because he understood on the deepest level, a kiss is the combining of the two neshamas. The ruach. His ruach with her ruach. And that's all he was connecting. And it was totally beyond the physical reality. That was Yaakov. As they say, please don't try to replicate this at home. Right, nobody can think that they can do that. Right, there was a Tana in the Gemara, who had a chasana. What did he do? He went and picked up the kala by the legs, and carried her on his arms. So the Talmidim saw the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, can we do this too? Is this our avoda to do as well? And Rebbe says, well, as far as I'm concerned, her two legs are like two poles. If you look at a woman's legs and see poles, then there's no problem. Okay, and then there's other stories of the Talmud where they're beyond. It's just that they could not be tempted by they didn't see the world as a physical world at all. They saw it totally as a spiritual world, and that was Yaakov. That's what Hashem called him. That's what Hashem called him. Hashem called him this Kale, and Yaakov could look right at Rachel and look at Rachel and not let his vision be skewed and to think it's only a physical look. It was a totally spiritual look. So therefore, Yaakov is beyond. He doesn't have to worry about this. He engages in this world in an otherworldly fashion. That is Yaakov. And that's awesome. Right? Kel ha-gadol ha-gibor v'ha-noira. That's noira. That's awesome. being able to use this world, be engaged in this world, and totally use it in another worldly fashion. So let's take it back in. V'imke midas Avram v'Yitzchak. So therefore, the attributes of Avram v'Yitzchak. It reflects the attributes of kindness and control of Hashem in this world. The attribute of Yaakov is how awesome Hashem is. He's beyond this world. Totally beyond. Therefore, the concept of rest, of menucha, it's the nullification of the nature of the world totally. That things go back even on a higher level. They come back to the holiest, most awesome level. That level, that's beyond the Yitzchak. I'll sing praises to Hashem. Okay, the gift came from Hashem. I'll give it back to Hashem. But it's still here. Yaakov returns things to the highest level. V'zeh Yaakov von Yenuchuvo. That's what it means. Yaakov and his children rest in it. Al-Kain, Al-Shabbos Ksiv. It's referring to the Shabbos. Right? What does it say? V'ha'achalticha nachos Yaakov. I will feed you the inheritance of Yaakov, your father. Right? So that's Yaakov. Yaakov is totally at rest. What does he mean at rest? He's got no conflict with this world. That's the rest that Yaakov has. Don't we all have conflict with this world? Right? The biggest conflict. Everybody's worried about their weight. Diets. Sometimes it's unbelievable. It's like unbelievable. All day long. People talking about diet. Diet here, there, there. Because they're in conflict with this world. They can't enjoy this world. Because as much as they like this world, they got to control themselves. It's the battle of precious. I got the cakes and the desserts and all these things that I love, but I can't have, and I got to try to figure out ways to have them and still lose weight, right? And better. And so what happens? You don't have it, but you're upset that you don't have it, and you can't eat just one. Can't eat just one. And there's this conflict. There's always this inner turmoil going on. I want to enjoy this world and I can't enjoy this world. So either I'm going to abstain from it, and when I'm abstaining, it means I feel I'm missing out something in life. So that's why you keep talking about it. Okay, you decide you're going to diet. Shut up about it. Stop talking about it. No, everyone's on a diet. You always hear how much they're on a diet. Just go on and be quiet. They can't, because it's driving them nuts. It's driving him nuts because he wants the layer cake. Forget, nobody wants those salads. Be honest. Nobody likes the salads and nobody likes any of that stuff. It doesn't really taste good. Okay, don't fool yourselves. And then they got to put sweetener in all this. So then you got all the other problems that come from the new additives that come in. It tastes just like it. And then you suffer afterwards from gas pains or this pain or that pain. Right? And it's still not the same. And it's still an aftertaste. And you talk about it all day long. Well, okay, maybe I'll exercise another 17 hours today to walk off the cake that I eat. They want to have their cake and eat it. Mamish, go have cake for breakfast and go to the club for 6 hours till you walk it off. So you did nothing a whole day. So it's all revolving around, you know, how much our lives are so terrible because we can't live with food. Can't live with it. Can't live without it. Right? Don't believe anybody's on these diets that they're really happy. They can't be. Because you know how a person's happy with that? When they don't talk about it. If you talk about it, make a big deal about it, it means you're neurotic about it. And the world is neurotic about their weight. Mamish neurotic about their weight. You go on a diet, go on the Yaakov diet. The Yaakov diet is you eat only for the sake of your soul. Tzadik ochel l'sova nafsho. The tzadik eats to satiate his soul. Yaakov had no conflict. I'm sure Yaakov wasn't overweight. I guarantee you he wasn't overweight. What did he do? His neshama looked at food and says, where are the holy sparks? Where are the holy sparks? So I'll have enough food till I eat enough holy sparks, and then I'm full. I'm full from the holy sparks. So Yaakov was using this world, but he was beyond this world. In this world, he was beyond this world. There was nothing in this world that was a temptation to him, because he saw the world for what it really was, the godly spark that was behind everything in this world. Right? If we would look at food as the godly spark, that's if you really looked at food for what it really was, the will of God that's emanating out of that lettuce, then the lettuce would taste unbelievably good, because you're not eating, you're not tasting the lettuce, you're tasting the divine spark. So there you go, Yaakov, he's enjoying this world, and he's not talking about, oh, I really would want the cake, and I'm really tempted with this, I'm tempted with that. Not tempted with nothing. But he sits down, has a meal like anybody else. Doesn't talk about it, enjoys it. And that is the beautiful rest of Yaakov. That's a person who's at rest. We'll continue with this idea of Menucha till the end of the parak tomorrow, Mr. Hashem. And then we'll start a new topic, Tefillin. Why we don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos. The real reason why we don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos.